Thank you.
Now that Ross is here, we can finally get started.
Sorry.
Collective bargaining, June 29th, 2016.
Tape wasn't rolling for that exchange?
Definitely something to be said for that.
Absolutely. Just leave them in the sound, I'll pick them up later.
I know.
It was a great discussion.
Minutes look good to us, I think.
Yeah, they're pretty minimal.
Yeah.
Except for one thing, they don't really reflect the plans for the following meeting, the articles that we intended to discuss. I was just wondering if in the future we may want to make a note of that.
Okay. Especially if we stick to the plan.
Right, exactly.
Stealing your sunglasses. Never mind. Likely one.
We can come back to that later if you like. The, or are you looking up the?
No, I'm looking for the materials I brought today.
I didn't realize you gave them all to me.
Where would we like to start? Seems like you've got something big.
No. I think you were going to respond, you were going to do 23.
Yeah, we can do 23. Okay.
Let's see if we can get, make some progress
so,
on that.
We always love to do 23.
This is the ninth iteration. So we thought it would be easier to kind of summarize the major points.
Oops.
Because we're actually in agreement on a lot of it, and then
Thank you. What
we're proposing in some places moves towards what you had proposed earlier. So everything that's got a check mark means that we're in agreement on at least the concept, and in many cases on the language as well. And you can see there's a couple of check marks in red, and that's where we're willing to accept what you proposed the last time.
Okay.
But just to make it easier, as we're on a ninth version and trying to keep track of it with track changes was, and even just starting from scratch was kind of unwieldy. So then the ones that in the left column are in bold and italics, those are the ones where we differ. And so the changes that we're proposing to make is for salaries, we were at 3.5% last time in our proposal, equally split. Now we're at 1.5% across the board and 1.5% merit. We're suggesting for the incentive awards, depending on how you feel about the recycles, either going with 40-40-10 plus the recycles, or something more like 55-55-10-10, and then not having the recycles at all. For final award approval, what we had before was the president, and that's what was in our proposal. You were proposing the vice provost, so we've moved halfway and said, okay, how about the provost? As the chief academic officer, that seems like the appropriate level. And then the 12-month payment option, I think we're fine on that with your proposal.
That's because there's no change to it, right? It's original language,
I think, right?
Right? Yeah,
yeah.
Right. That's what I believe. So.
I think we're done.
So you can just hand it to me. Thank you. If anyone else comes in, we'll have them spend.
So I think if we can agree on conceptually, it's pretty easy then to put the language together. We've got language on the table that I think both sides have agreed to.
I'm looking at this right. On the incentive awards, you're advocating either 90 total plus recycles or 130 total with no recycles. And we're at 100 with no recycles. And we're 1% apart on salary.
In total, right?
In total. Well, I guess, do you want to have a caucus?
Yeah, again, I think I do. I think what we should probably do is pass out 24 so that they have something to look at
sure.
while we're in our caucus.
Sure. On here right away on the first page. Are you guys going to propose language for emeritus or emeriti professors?
That was our intent.
Okay, so we can
just kind of like to
include that.
I guess kind of track through this and to provide some explanation for our position. We have a phased return program with 24.6 language runs through those pages. I think it's self-explanatory. You know, one of the things about the tuition program is, you know, last year we agreed on an expanded tuition benefit program that goes into effect this fall. So we have not implemented or experienced the benefit program that we have already agreed to. Our position is rather than scrap that and seek some other kind of benefit program before that has even been implemented, we go ahead and put in place what we've already agreed to and let that run its course and have the experience of what that benefit program.
Well, I'd like to correct that because we didn't agree to the parameters of that program. We agreed to implementing it in the fall, but not to the parameters.
That's why this article
got kicked into the current session.
Yeah, but that language is in the ratified book that your team actually ratified, along with our team.
A promissory note, I believe. It's not the actual language.
Yeah, it's not
the intent to implement.
It is. What it says is,
I'm looking at it right now. This is
the university is committed to expanding the tuition waiver program. Doesn't say anything about intent.
But I think we all knew what the program was when we agreed that it would be.
No, we didn't. That's the whole reason why this article is being discussed now. Otherwise, we could have closed this article with a full book.
Well, we actually did close the article. We're reopening it. And there are other issues in this article as well. that we did not agree on at the beginning last year.
Right, and this is one of them.
Well, in any event, we have a program that's going into
effect. It will go into effect in the fall.
And it is an expanded program, and we would like to see that implemented and have that experience before we revisit and look to changing its free universal
vastly expanded.
Well, I can say right up front that UFF will not be agreeable to that.
Well,
agreeable to what exactly?
To rolling out a new program that hasn't been agreed to.
But it was agreed to.
No, it wasn't.
You ratified language in this contract. Now, just because that's the same thing as salaries. You ratify language, we reopen. But that doesn't mean that the language that's in here isn't effective.
Yeah, I mean, John, in the event, let me ask you this. In the event that we do not reach agreement on the contract by this fall, are you saying that the program, the expanded benefit program that we intend to provide to our workforce would not be available to the members of the UFF bargaining unit?
Well, we'll have to cross that bridge when we come to it.
Well,
I mean, this is caught, you know, we weren't expecting this at all, so we need to have some time to discuss this.
Right.
Yeah, we weren't expecting this at all.
But you've had this for quite some time.
Well, what we're saying is, generally speaking, since we had a plan in place to expand the program, we didn't think that before you hit the road that we were going to have to.
Can I ask what I'm new to this, so I just wanted to know, what are the parameters of the new program that you're rolling out, and just so I know,
kind of in summary.
Well, it's stated right here.
I'm reading it here, but just to kind of quick summary of what it's crossed off, and just so I make sure I understand.
Yeah, you can read it right in the bargaining agreement. What it says is, the university is committed to expanding the tuition waiver program by the fall semester in 2016 to allow employees to assign some or all of their unused portion of their 6 credit hours to family members as defined as spouses or dependent children under the age of 26. University employees and their eligible family members shall be allowed to register 2 hours ahead of all other state employees. And I would add that there is a regulation regarding that is going before the Board of Trustees at their July meeting. If that passes, if it's approved by the board, that will benefit, the exact benefit that's stated here will be offered to all employees at the university.
Well, just to backtrack just for a moment, if you say that our ratification is already given consent to implement, why would the Board of Trustees need to approve it?
Because the Board of Trustees is approving it for the rest of the university. The regulation applies not to in-unit faculty. Well, it does, but the bargaining unit trumps that. But that means that every other employee in the university would
get helped. The Board of Trustees has already adopted this new program for the purpose of the fall of 2016 by their act of ratification of the collective bargaining agreement. So they have already adopted it for the purposes of the UFF unit. Now what they're looking at doing is expanding the benefit to offer it to all of the employees in the workforce. In a way, it sort of allows, I think there's two pieces to it. As I understand it, I may be misspeaking, but as I recall, the two pieces to it is it sort of allows the faculty member who had sort of like an additional access benefit to tuition-free courses to be able to transfer that benefit if they're not using it to a spouse or a
dependent child up to the age of 26.
So they kind of it raises the family to the level of the spouse or the dependent to the level of the faculty member before they were quite restricted in their use of it. And then the second thing is it allows the faculty member or the transferred credit to the spouse or the dependent to be able to have an early access to classes in front of other groups that have tuition
hours. And just to make sure I understand, it's a cap per family at 6 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have two or three children that are college age, which are future UCF alums. Like I said, I'm very proud of it, and the benefits of that are tremendous because down the road, like myself, we turn around and we donate back to the university because, I'll be honest with you, I'm very, very proud of UCF. So, you know, besides being an incentive to bring in faculty, you know, I mean, and that to me, you know, is an incredible incentive for faculty. You know, the fact that they can come and have their children educated at this university. Then we also, and I believe very much, and I have these kind of conversations with my classes, that we are, you know, I'm part of the UCF community just as much as they are, and you know, part of that's a buy-in for them to understand this community. So my thought process on this is just this idea of a cap. Just a, you know, my own thoughts. I'm not speaking for the, you know, John or what have you. But this is only, in many ways, a win-win for the university to be able to offer this. And I understand it's taking up seats. That's, in all honesty, I think that's, you know, when I used to be in business, you sow the seeds of future business. And you sometimes, you know, have to, you know, pay a little bit, invest a little bit in your company, and you invest a little bit in your business, but then that investment comes back. And one of the things, as the second largest university in the country, you know, we certainly should be able to offer, you know, this as an incentive, not only the faculty, but then creating future graduates of UCF who will be hopefully down the road, and I also have ties to UF, but my heart's with UCF, will be able to rival UF in terms of having a significant alumni who can also help to grow the university and its foundations and what have you. And so the thought of a six, you know, just a six credit cap per family, then you're starting to pit children against children and a family and things, and I understand, but that does, you know, then a parent has to start making those kind of decisions. And I think that would be something maybe that the university itself should, you know, maybe look in more of the long term and stuff in terms of that. That's just my thoughts on it. I don't know how John, you know.
Well, actually, the current UFF proposal is to make it 12 hours.
But I think it's per, if I'm not mistaken, if we do
all
it
in the
per eligible family members.
No.
No, per semester.
Per semester.
Right. Okay. So, you know, that's still not perfect, and I think that's them trying to meet, you know, a little bit more halfway. I mean, to me, it would be all your children should be able to be eligible for, and certainly, we know that there are, you know, families that aren't structured with just a parent child relationship. It might be a grandparent. So, I mean, we also have those other issues down the road, you know, to think about. And I think the greater focus, just from my point of view, is that having people graduate from UCF, besides the incentive of faculty coming here and wanting to work here, but having ties with more and more graduates from UCF, I think pays dividends down the road. And I think that that is a way for the university to invest. And it's very much, and I'm very proud of UCF. I mean, how much we invest in our community and things like that. And that's investing in the community. And that would be kind of my thoughts on that. And I know I contribute quite a bit to programs here, and I would even contribute more. I contribute to the sports and stuff because I love my Knights. And so it's all those kinds of things that we want to be able to rival someone who's been established for 150 years down the, you know.
Well, there's a lot of things in play. There's a lot of things in play at the legislature. There's a lot of things in play at the Board of Governors.
Sure.
There's a lot of things in play at the Board of Trustees level and at this level.
Sure.
Revolving around tuition and cost of tuition, cost of fees, you know, there's been talk about tuition during the summer, tuition for internet courses, online courses. There's a lot of things going on here. And who knows where we go with all of this in the future. But what we've done here, from our perspective, is we've greatly expanded the access to these courses for this, in this round. We would like to see that implemented. We would like to see how it plays itself out. We would like to see if there's any kinks to it. You know, if it works out, great. And maybe there's a time and place in the future where people say, let's expand it even further. I don't know. But we have a new program in place that we just negotiated that hasn't been implemented yet.
Right.
So we have no experience with it yet. And it may cause problems for faculty. It may cause problems for our course offerings. It may cause problems at the Board of Governors or beyond, you know, who are very keen as to how we collect tuition and who pays and what they pay. They're very much involved in all of that.
I do have a question, and again, I'm new in this, so I apologize, but we would be the only university that is in Florida that's offering this. Is that correct?
No, it's not correct.
Yes.
Okay, what are the
Some
no one else is offering on a non-space available basis, and no one else is offering immediate family.
Well, but others are offering quite a bit more in terms of what the benefit is.
No, they're not.
Mm. Almost every
we provide a handout.
Campus
yeah, I know we have the same one. The same
program. You know, let me. I'll give you an example. We just ratified a contract to Florida State University that has nothing but the statutory benefit in it. Mm-hmm. And that's because the general counsel's office was of the opinion that we do not have the authority at the Board of Trustees level to grant tuition waivers, period. Mm-hmm. But only the Board of Governors can do that. So,
and we actually do have to get approval for the Board of Governors. For tuition waivers.
So it's fairly complex, and there's some universities that had programs in place before the devolution, which is before they started bargaining. So, and some of those, and I could tell you, some of those universities are would step back and out of it if they could. They're in that consortium, that national consortium where you have to trade students.
But I think my point is that. We've already established us. We are the largest university in Florida, and second in the country. And my understanding for President Hitt is that's something we would like to continue, and also continue to obviously really just be the place to come to, right? And I think that you know, and it's not to negate what is the proposal, but it's, and you are kind of. Only expanding what was offered to employees to offer to their children, so it might make employees have to choose, well, do I continue my work or do I now try to get my child educated? And I don't think those are the kind of, you know, to me, I just...
We don't see that issue as that way. We see the issue as expanding your right to be able to use this so that you have greater flexibility in the use of this benefit so that you can use it yourself or give it to a child. Not that we're setting up some Hobson choice where you have to choose between two negatives. We see it as choosing between two positives. We're expanding this benefit, and we're making it easier for faculty and their dependents to be able to utilize and access courses, not limiting them. So.
No, and I understand that's how you're seeing it, but I'm also trying to present to you a different view, and I'm not presenting it more so from how, I guess, someone who identifies so much with UCF, how I want it to be, you know,
people
to believe in it.
And we appreciate that, but we just don't see a significant increase in both a benefit and access to the benefit as something that's creating a problem. We think it's creating a greater benefit for the faculty.
Just a point of clarification, in terms of definitions, from the 24.7, you describe family members as spouses and dependent children. In the definition section, we have a clause called immediate family.
Yes. So
obviously, there's no, intent to apply this to immediate family as defined here.
Absolutely not. That's why we didn't use that language. And that's why when you put this on the table, I actually went to the back of the definition section and read this and said, is this what you mean? Because that is a vastly expanded group of people. When you get into sisters, brothers, grandchildren, grandparents.
That recognizes realities of modern life, and actually it's not modern life, it's been life all along.
Sure.
Where we have members of our bargaining unit who are grandparents, who are the primary caregivers for their grandchildren, where the parents are out of the equation. So we're trying to make sure that they have access to the same benefits that all the other faculty members have.
Right.
I understand that, but I'm not sure that the university is willing to expand that to brothers and sisters, to the grandparents themselves, grandparents that are raising children. That might be a different story, but I mean, you know, that is a enormous expansion of people. And when you combine that with increasing the number to 12 out from 6 hours to 12 and make it on a non-space available basis, then you are essentially saying that you've expanded, you create a huge pool of people who are now going to have double the current number of credit hours they can take, and they will be able to displace paying people who currently pay tuition. I don't think our Board of Trustees is going to be really excited about that. Plus, we'd have to get it by the Board of Governors.
Let's find out. Take it to them. Present it to them. Let's find out.
It's the investing in...
We're happy for you to take our proposal to them and find out. Quite pleased.
And if you're only implementing this on a trial basis, what's the problem in expanding it to the...
It's not a trial basis. It's something that we actually negotiated.
Well, you say you want to see how it works out, basically.
But sure.
The only thing we agreed to is the language about you had a commitment to implementing the program. But it doesn't say shall implement the program. Those are different words.
Right.
Well,
let's move on anyway. Because we have some questions on 24.6 that hopefully you can clarify for us. It's mostly about the structure of how the changes are indicated. So what's the difference between what's shaded and what's in orange and what's in blue or purple?
Well, we essentially kept your program and what you put on the table. The only thing that we changed was there were certain things that, for example, prior to 2011 or 8 years after 2011, that's statutory.
Okay, so those are the changes that you've added.
Yes.
So the gray is essentially what we've added.
Yes.
In.
The only thing that is what we've changed is in purple.
Okay, perfect. I understand what happened. Okay, so let me ask. Let me ask just a couple questions, make sure I understand what your intent is. So the first change about prior to 2011 or 8 years after 2011 is to have faculty members be vested, right?
Mm-hmm.
Basically,
that's just the vesting requirement.
Vesting requirement, okay. And then why would the eligibility expire on the employee's 63rd birthday? Because I think that's going to knock out a lot of folks who might otherwise be attracted to the program. I think that's what was knocking people out earlier. Because full Social Security benefits come at age 68. And so if folks are on...
It depends on what...
Yeah, well...
I mean, they come at 66 for me, so...
that's true.
It depends on how old you are, yeah.
So I think for me, it's 68, and for folks younger than me, it's more than that. So what I'm concerned about is that we're... again, creating a program that no one's going to take advantage of. So that's why I'm questioning why was that just a carryover?
Well,
was that
no, well, it is.
HR?
It is current language, but I think at some point you're going to have a cutoff.
But it just seems like that cutoff is going to cut everybody off, and so we'll have a program that won't be used. It hasn't been used very often, and...
If you want to suggest an alternative date.
I mean, would you be
date,
open to an alternative?
We'd be open to discuss it.
Okay, all right.
We'll discuss anything.
Okay.
I'm sorry, John. What you're saying at 24.6A1 is that the eligibility on the 63rd birthday, that the population of people who would opt for this are already over 63?
Not quite. So... So imagine that we implement this and that it stays for a while. So we have current faculty members, say a younger person, get hired in the fall. When they arrive, their retirement age might not be till they're 70 to get full benefits for Social Security. So they may want to time their phase retirement to actually begin about then, or to be in the middle of that point.
Okay.
Not way prior,
right.
Because they have to retire and stay off the payroll for a while, and then when they're coming off, they're retired, so they're going to be drawing benefits.
So what you're saying, the population is probably in
excess
of 63?
It's going to be too small. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Okay.
That's our concern. That's our initial concern, and we can look at the data and try to, you know, make an informed guess about what might work more for our members. And then the last one is the insertion of intent. So I'm just uncertain how that changes the meaning or changes. Is it just because that's what's on the header of the form? Or?
Well, I mean, what?
Intent to retire is different than immediate retire effective immediately, right? So I think that's why 63rd actually works.
But I mean, you've got to. What's your issue with that? You don't want them to have to provide notice that they're going to retire ahead of time?
No. What I'm trying to figure out is why. How does intent to retire differ from retire? I just don't.
John,
I'm not,
I think what's going on is somebody submitted paperwork that says 5 years from now I'm going to retire. So now I'm giving notice of my intent to retire at some future point.
Okay. So it's more about prior notification or okay.
Yeah.
It's just that the clause that comes after it restricts how far in advance they can actually start the program. See what I mean? So they submit the written notice of intent to retire. They have to do that before their 63rd birthday, but then they have to actually retire, right?
Within 6 months.
Within 6 months, right?
Yeah.
Unless it falls on the semester, blah, blah, blah.
Well, assuming. Okay.
Am I reading that correctly? We're just trying to avoid creating a program where we can't enroll anybody in it again.
Well, okay. So, but is your point that all right, say you said eligibility shall expire on the employee's, pick a number, 68th birthday, whatever. Does that solve your problem with the notice of intent? I mean, are you saying the two work together in some way?
I think they could if we're not careful. And so that's what I'm trying to do is make sure that we agree on what the language says and the structure, and so that we don't, like I said, create a program that no one can enroll in.
Sure.
Very few people enroll in. Okay, and then, yeah, and I think the next change you're just saying, the FTEs, you basically have a document, right? You spell out in advance, and everybody signs it, and that's what you're envisioning. Is that correct? Okay. I think that.
The only other thing that we want to point out is that 24.49, what we're offering to the retirees is a sponsored email address, but for a number of reasons, I think we've gone through them within a person who is an employee and then becomes an inactive employee through retirement cannot still have an active employee's email address.
What clause is that? I've got
24.49.
24.49.
First page thing.
Okay.
24.49.
Thank you.
Yeah, we talked about that.
Yeah, we talked about that before, yeah.
Yeah.
So, another question from our side? Is it time for a caucus?
I think so.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, we have a verbal counter to the Article 23 that was proposed. Our salary is still 1% across the board, 1% merit, and then our agreement that there's another piece for the equity, I think it's 0.2 tenths.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where we're unchanged with that proposal. But with regard to incentive awards, we're willing to go to 55 tips, 55 Ritas, and 10 solos. So that's moving up 20 awards and dummy cycles. So there would be a, again, 55 tips, 55 Ritas, and 10 solos with dummy cycles. And we're pretty much in agreement with everything else, I think.
What about
this piece here, final award approval?
I think that's going to stay with Cynthia.
Okay.
The provost just doesn't want to do it. And I can't make him. He just feels overwhelmed.
Well, it's a lot of work.
Well, he could delegate it to Cynthia, and then if there's no cases that require his attention, right, then...
Well, that's essentially what he's doing.
Well, then let's just put it in there and let him continue doing what he's doing. I mean, to be honest, I was kind of shocked when you said the last time that the president reviewed all those files. I just assumed that someone else looked at him and then said, okay, this group is okay, this group, you might want to take a look at these one or two or something like that. Try to cull his workload a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay, no, cool. Geez, I hate to do this. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you mind if we caucus again?
Nope, not at all.
Thanks for coming back.
Okay, thank you.
We're going to take a play out of Mike's playbook and said, we'll get back to you.
Okay.
That's my hologram that says that. I'm not really here in person, but I have a hologram that says, we'll get back to you. So sometimes it's not really me that's over here.
So for next time, can we do 8, 23, 24?
We've got...
Well, you're going to get back to us on 23, right?
Yeah.
Well, back to you on everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about 24... because I think we are, if we even would consider some of this, I think it would, I'm going to have to look at the legal, if we have to go to the bog with it, and if we do that enormously complicates things, so. And then there's 8. We can think about it.
Well, you have a proposal from us for 8, right?
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
We've
had it for quite a while,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, we have. We've,
okay.
Right. Yeah, we're going to try to, we'll try to get to that. We'll do our best to get to 8.
All right, so 8, 24.
Because this is all kind of tied up as a package. I mean,
yeah, it is to some extent, yeah. Okay.
Good.
Well, good.
Okay.
So Lee wanted, for the minutes, he wanted to show what we're going to talk about next time. So
23, 24, definitely, and with luck, 8.
Okay, got it.
Okay, thanks.
Should we stress that 8 is something we'd really like to see?
Yeah, we'd really like to see 8.
All right. We'd really like to get closure on 23. But
we'd like to get closure on the whole thing.
Yeah.
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 I hope the tape was on for that.
Yeah.